Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is Dukes and Bell. We're in Gwinnett. You're like, Dukes and Bell, why are you in Gwinnett? Mike Bell, why are we in Gwinnett?
Because it's Paint Gwinnett Pink, guys. It's coming up on Saturday. They're going to have over 2,300 runners and walkers fighting breast cancer and raising money for the fight against breast cancer. And there'll be survivors there. That's always inspirational, Carl. They have pins for people that are, you know, X amount of years or how many months out since they've battled and surviving cancer. We've got entertainment. I'll be the MC, and that's all going down at Cool Ray Field on Saturday. It starts early in the morning, so you still have time to watch all your football, but we'll be out there about 8 a.m. So if you want to just come on down and support. If you live up in this neck of the woods in Lawrenceville, Suwanee, Gwinnett, you want to support these folks, come on out on Saturday and see us. Today, all the folks that are in the event are swinging by here at the Gwinnett Medical Center Foundation office to pick up their packets.
And it's a great event. Mike mentioned this is the most signups they've ever had. You know, just like with anything, man, COVID put a damper in everything, and people are back and doing their regular thing, and it took a couple of years for some of this stuff. I think these numbers would have been probably in 2020, Mike, as high as they are today, but nevertheless, this event continues to grow, and we're happy to be a part of it. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, this hour, as always, is brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Coming up, you're going to hear Jimmy Lake, our DC. Last week, you got a chance to hear from our OC on Andy and Randy, and this week they had a chance to visit with Jimmy Lake, so we'll let you hear that conversation.
Especially those questions that you and I were talking about, and I was like, man, I hope Andy and Randy do, and they did ask about the pass rush, and, you know, we talked about specific dudes and, you know, Ebba Cady and other guys getting involved, getting them in the mix.
For sure.
Talking about your pass rush.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, so hopefully we'll get things cooking, and you'll hear what Jimmy had. Jimmy was really kind of interesting to hear about and gets it. I mean, he's not shying away from it. He knows they got to get that pass rushing gear.
No doubt. It's on the way in less than 10 minutes. Yeah, man, no man as well. And if you're new to the show, we say hey, man, because we have a beer named after us as well, right?
That's a Big Ten 4. Available at all your favorite package stores. And if not, you grab the guy by the scruff. No, don't do that. You just ask him. You say, hey, man, there's this beer. It's made by Oconee Brewing over in Greensboro, Georgia. It's distributed by Georgia Crown. And can you call them and tell them to bring a couple of cases? I will buy it, and then they'll get the beer up to you.
Yep.
Or commit to a six-pack. If you don't like it, we'll finish the rest. But either way, ask your favorite package store or supermarket to go get our Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale.
Yeah, you might see it at any of your package stores, and all Publix as well.
So. And on draft, some of your favorite bars. I know on the south side, we've got on draft at a number of my favorite watering holes.
No doubt. Bunch of restaurants. Ask for it, man. And big shout-out to Scotty McCray while we're talking about this. Scotty McCray carries our beer in all his restaurants and bars and stuff. So.
And that's how I met the ladies and the folks here at Pink When at Pink. It was at an event at Scotty's old bar, Lava Cosmo, back in the day. And Carl and I got involved in the whole process.
Awesome. All right. Stay right there. You'll hear from our DC. But right now, let's get to an NFL Blitz. Listen, it's a little bit early to be talking about MVP, but they are. And they're saying there are two guys on one team, Mike, who are kind of dominating the conversation right now. One of them is Lamar Jackson. Now, if you've not watched the Ravens this season, Lamar is playing better right now than his two previous MVP seasons. If that's the case and the statistics are better, he's probably going to win another. Mm-hmm. That's never been the issue with his talent level, Mike. It's getting to the playoffs, and let's be honest, it's not just Lamar. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. And Burrow's gotten through him one time. They all have to get through Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. And by the way, this is kind of getting to be like the LeBron or the Michael Jordan award. Like, Patrick Mahomes could technically get this thing every year.
Yep.
Because you can look – I don't know many teams can look as bad as the Chiefs did last year. Then they've got the secret sauce, Mahomes. It's like, hey, Mahomes, do some Mahomes stuff. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. You just beat two road teams on the playoffs and you're going to the Super Bowl.
It's crazy. So the other guys, Derrick Henry guys – I don't want to say he's found a fountain of youth, but we talk about being age 30 at running back in the NFL. Henry is balling out. He's averaging a league-high, Mike, 117 rushing yards per game, 6 yards a carry this season.
I mean, it's just like trying to – I mean, I know there's a million analogies and cliches, but, yeah, it literally is like trying to tackle a Mack truck. I mean, this guy, when he gets ahead of steam going, it's just something – I mean, Najee Harris is kind of like that, Josh Jacobs, but there's only one Derrick Henry that looks like that.
I agree. I'll tell you who's not going to win the MVP, and that's anybody on the New York Football Jets football team. Guys, they have made changes. Jeff Ulbrich is the new interim head coach. He was asked about whether Davante Adams is likely to play Sunday night.
Michael Carter will be the other one that probably won't make it, but the other ones, I'm fully confident all those guys will play.
So that includes Adams for play.
Okay, so he's saying, yeah. So he's saying, obviously, Mike, they traded for him. They don't have time to wait.
No, got to plug him in. I mean, it's a division. Like, it's still a very winnable division. You know, it was a very winnable game against the Bills. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, didn't look great. Yes, he threw, was it Mike Williams under the bus for running the wrong route? And then doing
If you're Mike Williams, you want out.
Well, I think they're going to make that happen for you because I think now there's kind of a large
If your quarterback throws you under the bus, where do you go?
You got nowhere to go. I mean, and how's your relationship with him?
I got nowhere to go.
I got nowhere else to go. That is an officer and a gentleman reference for our listeners under the age of 30. But no, as far as, you know, what does he do?
I
got nowhere else to go. You're out, mayonnaise. I want to hear it.
God rest his soul. Right, Lou Gossett Jr., man.
Again, for guys under the age of 30, that's a scene with Lou Gossett Jr. and Richard Gere, and an officer and a gentleman. He's going through flight school, basic, and Lou Gossett Jr. knows he's a hustler and doesn't have what it takes to be an officer.
That's right.
And a gentleman.
That's right. One of the great movies. And Gossett,
what are you going to do about it? Mayonnaise. Where are you from?
Don't Texas. You eyeball me, boy. Don't you eyeball me.
Great movie. All right, so speaking of toe-to-toe, Justin Fields says he hasn't played well enough for the Steelers to not consider Russell Wilson a quarterback. So he's saying all the right things.
He is.
But why are they going to mess around with a good thing?
I am not sure if Russ plays this week. But if he does, again, I think this is, we want to show you we know what we're talking about. And Justin gives us the best chance to win. Here's Mike Tomlin, Mike. He was asked this. This was early this week. It's Thursday. I think this was Tuesday when Tomlin was asked why he's sticking or isn't sticking with Fields right now and is wholeheartedly on him being the number one starter.
Justin has been really good, and we've been really good at times, but not to be confused with great. Man, this is a competitive league, man. We're trying to position ourselves to be that team. And we got a player with talent who hadn't had an opportunity to play, so we're going to potentially explore those things. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what Justin has done or has not done. Justin has been an asset to us, man. Last week, for example, man, his ability to utilize his legs by design and by ad-lib was a significant component of that game.
Yeah.
So why not roll with it?
Well, that's the thing. And remember, here's the deal. Somebody asked me, you know, about this whole Russ thing. Guys, the Steelers, they went to the playoffs with Kenny Pickett.
Okay? Right. With two gloves on.
They were terrible offensively. This is the philosophy. Run the ball, be great on defense. That has always kind of been the Steelers. Now, through the years, obviously, Ben Roethlisberger was allowed to throw it around, Mike. He ended up being, I think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback with two Super Bowls. Bottom line, though, is he's basically telling you that Justin's been good, not great, and therefore I have to open the door for the guy that has won a Super Bowl. Even though, Mike, I don't think he's that guy anymore.
Yeah, I don't know why Tomlin is going down this road, a guy that we've always had respect for having to deal with, you know, a lot of personalities that actually have multiple personalities. but I saw Ben Roethlisberger.
Mr. Unlimited.
Ben Roethlisberger goes on an interview or a podcast this week and says, look, I'd stick with Fields. There's no reason to switch from Fields right now.
He's right. Here's the other thing that I do know for a fact. Locker room digs him. And you might think that's nothing. But the locker room likes, on both sides of the ball, likes Justin Fields. Mike, I think this is maybe a little bit of a ploy, but I also think that, you know, this may be one of those deals where if Mike Tomlin throws him out there and Russ balls out and you're trying to prove it the opposite of, hey, we're going with the best guy, which is Justin. We've been trying to show you that all year. I told you this guy didn't have anything, and yet Russ plays well. Then what do you find yourself in? a controversy, which is what they've avoided all season.
I don't get it. And why this weekend with the Jets and a big national audience on that game? I don't understand. Unless maybe, and Tom, we never let you go behind the curtain, that Arthur Smith is feeling
sure.
that you've hit the ceiling with Justin Fields.
That's a good point.
And that maybe, you know, but again, after watching 3 years of Arthur Smith, I don't know what he's doing or how he's doing it. The Buccaneers, interesting story. Now, we don't see the Bucs until 2 weeks from now, but
big game on
Monday night against the Ravens, as we mentioned. We'll be up there at Buffalo Wild Wing. Perimeter Mall location, guys. Dukes and Bell, then the doubleheader. Mike Evans did not take part in the team's first on-field workouts. According to Coach Todd Bowles, the ladies' man, he tweaked his knee in the win over the Saints.
Mm.
Godwin sort of became the go-to guy at times in the second half. Bowles said Evans' condition has improved, so that maybe means nothing or something. But keep an eye on that for you fantasy owners about Mike Evans. So an extra day to heal up.
Yeah, that's a big deal. When I said big game, yes, big game for them this week with the Ravens because, again, if they lose and come into our game, they'll be hungry. But I feel like that game, this is me, is for our division.
Mm.
We won't see them the rest of the season. We've already beaten them. I'm talking about the Bucs, not this Sunday, next week. If we win that and we sweep the Bucs, I feel like this division is Saints going to beat us?
Right.
I mean, that to me, that's what this is. If you split with them, Mike, then you get back to, like, opponents. What happens the rest of the way? Do they lose to Carolina at some point? You know, the Saints, they have another game with them. But I think that, to me, is the division game that could determine this. Because we're done with the Bucs, and we've got, eight more weeks of football.
We split with them a year ago. Remember, we beat them when Desmond Ridder coughs it up three times inside the red zone, which is inexplicable. And then Baker Mayfield gets on one of those Baker Mayfield heaters and beats us at Mercedes-Benz. I'm going down for that game, but I just think that's going to be – certainly the Bucs are just still steaming mad the way they kind of stepped on their own ding-dong and blew that game. Hey, we'll take it. We made it work. By the way, one more note going back to the Steelers. I apologize. I didn't see this. We were discussing earlier. We said that Justin Fields said he's got to be better.
Yeah.
I just saw this from Pro Football Talk just posted. Arthur Smith says sometimes guys are too hard on themselves. He appreciates that about Fields because the mental component to me is what separates the great ones from the other starters. He says, you know, in this league, and that's what he's pushing. You look at everything. I mean, you try to look at it from every vantage point. That's why you have conversations. No decision is ever easy. When you become callous to it or numb, you probably should get out of this thing. But I think his confidence should be high. He's 4-2. So I'm not saying he's having a crisis of confidence, but it is interesting hearing him, Arthur Smith, react to what he said about I've got to be better.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's pimping him for him over
Russell Wilson. I agree. And see, this is what I'm saying. Tomlin makes the ultimate decision, all right? It's going to be Mike Tomlin's team. He's going to make the final decision. But the OC and the guy that's calling the plays and working with these quarterbacks every day.
Sounds like he's happy with JT. I mean, JF, I should say.
I think he is, man. Hey, Mike mentioned Buffalo Wild Wings. Pick up your six-pack, guys. Two entrees, two sides, two drinks for only $19.99. We're going to be out there at Perimeter Mall location on Monday. Happy hours from 3 to 6. Come out and hang with your boys. We're going to have a great time. We'll be giving away a Kyle Pitts autographed jersey. I think I'm going to have also maybe a Kyle Pitts autographed football. Also, come meet your favorite 92.9 The Game personalities. It's going to be huge, man. We're going to have a great time out there. Buffalo Wild Wings, again.
Perimeter Mall, Monday.
All right, we're coming back. We got plenty more to get to. You're going to hear from Jimmy Lake. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Jimmy Lake's our DC. He talked to Andy and Randy about all the things that are going on with this defense, including how do we get more pass rush. You'll hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are in Gwinnett today, hanging out, having a great time, literally outside, Mike. Beautiful day, by the way.
Man, it is Indian summer. It feels perfect, and folks are coming by to pick up their packets for the Paint Gwinnett Pink 5K. Cool Ray Field on Saturday, the largest entry field we've ever had for this, and I'll be looking forward to hosting the event over there, and they'll have some live music and entertainment, even going to have like an axe-throwing stand for some of the dudes while your women are out there running. Guys, going to... We're live at the Gwinnett Medical Center, Heritage Foundation. And there's lots of heritage here, too.
There is.
But anyway, we're out here off of Sugarloaf, and we'll be here till 7 o'clock as folks are swinging by.
Barbara Dooley at 4, guys. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. But first, let's hear from Jimmy Lake, our defensive coordinator for our Atlanta Falcons. He stopped by Andy and Randy. First thing the guys asked him is, what's it like coaching this safety duo?
Oh, yeah, no, it's incredible. And I've been fortunate to be around a number of talented safeties, but it is no match in my 20, what is it, 5 years of coaching. You know, the combination of Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates III, it is a lethal combination of ball awareness, ball skills, their smarts of getting everybody lined up, disguise to really make the quarterback uneasy. And then their tackling ability, and of course their ability to get the ball back, punching the ball out, which Jesse has done already throughout his career.
Jimmy, I want to go back when Rod gets the job here in Atlanta and he comes to you and asks you to be his defensive coordinator. What did you see as far as the personnel when you said, yes, I'll be the defensive coordinator, and what you needed to add to make this a good defense?
Oh, yeah. I was so excited. So I was in my house in Los Angeles and accepted the role. And then started to watch film right away, which, you know, that's what us coaches do. And all of a sudden I'm starting watching the film and I'm seeing 11 players hunting to the football with bad intentions, tackling well, hitting, striking, getting off blocks. I saw a defense that was hungry and flying around. And that's the type of defense that I have always been a part of. So I was extremely excited.
What kind of a two-parter here? What part of this defense has been what you've expected it to be thus far through six games? And then on the flip side of it, what part of this defense do you feel like isn't where you want it to be yet and you'd like to improve upon?
Yeah, I'd say the first thing is our guys are extremely, like, all in and what the plan is. You can hear the communication throughout the building when we're in meetings, when we're on walkthroughs. It's really at a high professional level, and I love the communication that we have all three levels of our defense, playing extremely cohesive, and they've stayed together. You know, the National Football League is the elite of the elite, and we know we're going to be facing tough offenses week in and week out and tough matchups. And we've been able to weather the storm. Teams have made plays on us, but then all of a sudden we've had the ability and the resiliency to bounce back and play well down the stretch and close out games. And I'll say, you know, the things that I think that we need to work on, it starts with me, that we got to do a better job of is, you know, we've haven't played the run as well as I would like to play. And it starts with me making sure our guys are in position, make sure they're understanding the scheme, so we can get, you know, offenses in those third and extra long, and then we can actually really get after the quarterback.
Jimmy, when we talk about this pass rush, because I think that's a big thing that a lot of us are talking about, you know, the five sacks and six games and everything like that. What do you see as far as while you're up there in the booth, or I don't know if you're down on the field, calling this defense? Are you guys getting close, or is it, you know, you got a mobile quarterback here, or this guy gets the ball out fast? I mean, what is it from your point of view that you're seeing about this pass rush?
Yeah, no, it's a combination, and I'll say this. Our process has been correct, or the way our players are preparing themselves with the game plan, the way they've been putting their work in the weight room and out on the practice field, and then going out of the games, the process has been correct, and we've been extremely close, just like you just mentioned. We've had a lot of, just close, and all of a sudden they get rid of the ball, or you know, just close, and then it's an incomplete pass. We've had a bunch of quarterback hits. Not necessarily the sack production and the numbers that say it on the paper that you had a sack, and so we're on the right track. But now we just got to continue with our process, which our guys are doing, and we know that those results that people like to see on paper, where it actually says that we're getting the sack, are going to eventually show.
Hey, Jimmy, how do you get prepared as far as your defense for those different types of quarterbacks? Like, you got a Justin Fields, and you coach against Jalen Hurts this year, and Baker Mayfield, and how do you get your mindset? How do you go about approach calling your defense when you got to play such different style quarterbacks?
Yeah, and that was probably another part of the question before, right? In terms of what the type of offenses that we're facing. You know, those first 2 weeks, again, it goes back to limiting the run on first, second down. But, you know, once you get down that, now it's third and three, third and four, mm-hmm. and you have Justin Fields and you have Jalen Hurts that has the ability just to run quarterback zone reads, quarterback run games, quarterback counters, a lot of, college-style offenses, really tough to defend. Mm-hmm. From a defensive standpoint, it becomes a lot more difficult to really pin your ears back and go get after a quarterback thinking it's going to be a pass. And now all of a sudden, they have a quarterback design run and they're gutting you for a 12 yard gain for a first down. And so, you know, that was a little bit of the first lull of not very many sacks in the first couple of weeks. But again, if we're better on first and second down and we get them in known passing situations, it's third and 12. Now you can't really run that quarterback, zone replay. And so it really goes back to being better on first, second down, so we can get the offense behind the chains and then we can really pin our ears back and get after the quarterback.
Falcons defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake joining us here on the midday show with Andy and Randy. It's been cool to see Rook Arororo get on the field the last couple of weeks. What has he done from the beginning of the season to get on the field, and what does he need to do to stay out there for you guys?
Yeah, so excited for Rook. He got here. We saw the talent in drills and, out in OTAs. We saw the movement. And then, once we hit training camp, it's just been a constant, steady growth and improvement with Rook. We get out to preseason games and, he plays okay, made a couple plays here or there, but then had a lot of things to clean up. And to give him a ton of credit, he cleaned those up. I get a lot of credit also to Jay Rogers and John Timu, his position coaches, who have really been bringing him along every single week. And so, those first few weeks there when he wasn't active, he's on our scout team going against our offense, and all of a sudden we start watching the film, and we're like, whoa, look at Rook. He's causing a lot of havoc against our first team offensive line here. And then it became a point where we're like, it's time. He's grown. He's grown in his technique, his fundamentals. He's understanding. He's catching up to the pace of the National Football League speed. And then sure enough, he goes out there his first game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, man, he played so well, played so physical, violent, tackled well, made some splash plays. And you're just going to continue to see a constant state of growth and development with Rook. He's got the right mindset. He's got the right position coaches, and I'm excited about his future.
Hey, Jimmy, I always ask anytime we get an opportunity to interview any coach of the Falcons, my favorite Falcon is Grady Jarrett. And talk to us about what it's like coaching a guy like that, because he does seem, he's got hurt last year. Seems like he's looking like Grady all of a sudden.
Oh, man. What a leader, an exceptional leader for our defense and for our whole team, really. When I first met him, he was still, coming off of his injury, and he was on a separate practice field going through rehab with our performance team. And I would always pop over there and talk to him, and you could just see the look in his eye, the competitive fire. He couldn't wait to get over on the field with us and start, working on his craft and working on the scheme and catching up with the scheme. And now that he's in, all the way in from training camp and the preseason games to now, just his spark, his tackle for losses, his leadership, his passion, his fire, the way the guys rally around him, it's really exceptional and amazing to be around.
Tell us the, if you would, the story behind Clark Phillips going down before he got to the, because I'll be honest.
I'm going to SCO, Jimmy.
I would have scored a touchdown.
I'm going to SCO.
But from what we hear, it sounds like he was listening to his coaches. Tell us the story of how that happened.
Awesome. I'm going to SCO, Jimmy.
Oh, boy. Okay. No, I think it's it's fun. And so here's the straight scoop. You guys have been so great. I'll give you a genuine, honest answer.
We earned
that's what your listeners. We earned it. That's what your listeners want to hear as well. So we were up by multiple scores there, and so I had the same reaction that you guys probably had. I'm thinking, all right, here we go. Clark's going to pick this thing off. He's going to go score. And then he goes down, and then I'm like, okay, he went down. That's a good thing to do. The game was already in hand. Now we can kneel the clock out. And, we just had some of our coaches were like, hey, they were reminding the players, hey, if we get a turnover here, hey, just go ahead and get down because the game's going to be over, which they are correct. And because especially if that was a one-score game, if that was a one-score game there, he needs to immediately go down right now. Because there's been some horror films of guys trying to score there or go, and then they cough the ball up, and then now they get the ball, and then, the offense has another run at it. And sure enough, usually when that happens, it's like giving up an extra out in baseball, and the next guy's going to hit a home run. And so Clark did the classy thing. It's not right or wrong. But I will say I had the same reaction. I was like, he's going to score. Oh, he didn't score. What's going on? Oh, okay. I get it. But, hey, I don't know if I would have done the same thing if I was in his shoes. If I'm in his shoes, I think I'm housing that thing and going to celebrate to the camera.
Oh, me too.
I'm going to score.
I would have been dancing in the end zone.
I'm going to score. I know we got real quick, got about a minute left. Jimmy, could you talk to us about this team, this opponent you're playing against as far as Seattle? We know they throw the ball a lot, got big play wide receivers. You're thinking about, I mean, I know you're not going to give us a game plan, but your thought process as far as defending this team.
No, so this is an explosive offense. number one pass offense in the National Football League. They're putting up records right now, you know, through six games. You know, there's a lot of talk right now about, hey, they want to balance out and want to run the ball a little bit. So, you know, we'll definitely got to be prepared for that. And they have an extremely talented runner and Walker back there. And so, well, we got to have our antennas up and make sure we're not just focused on the pass game. They could easily just hand it off to number nine back there and cause a lot of problems. But, you know, they got talent up and down their roster on offense. And when you start looking at their wide receivers with Lockett, with DK Metcalf, of course, with Ohio State, I don't want to mess up his name, JSN, I'll just say the initials there. And then you got the running back, and then you got Span at tight end, and you got a former first-round quarterback in Geno Smith, who's, I mean, he's playing amazing, throwing the ball over and really smart. And then you got a unique scheme, you know, so this is a college offensive coordinator that had a bunch of success in college, almost won the national championship last year with Mike Penix as his quarterback. And they were, you know, setting records in college the last couple of years. And now he's brought that offense to the National Football League, and you can see what it's doing. It's shattering records in the pass game. I know they're on a little lull right now in terms of wins and losses. So I think they've had an extra time to prepare for. So I'm sure they're going to try to bounce that up a little bit with a run pass, but this is a high flying offense that we have to be, you know, on our the screws and nails of everything to make sure they don't score a lot of points.
Jimmy Lake with our guys Andy and Randy, and listen, we as I think as a city, with Jimmy Lake's experience and what he had done, we were all kind of like, okay, what's he bringing? What's this defense going to be? Mike, big check mark so far. I get it. The pass rush is probably the downfall, but
right.
This defense has gotten off the field. They're holding teams to field goals, not touchdowns. I give them a big check mark, man.
You know, Coach Rod talked about it. You know, we're getting guys close, but, you know, it's something we're experiencing as Falcon fans. One of the things we always worry about is red zone. Well, red zone's gotten a hell of a lot better so far this season, but the one thing for decades is still looming, and they've got to fix it. That's pass rush.
Coming up. Yeah, man, no, man. We're live in Gwinnett, guys, this hour again, brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And entry doors at Stukes and Bell. Coming up, we're going to talk to the lovely and talented Barbara Dooley. We love visiting with her each and every week. Dogs in the biggest game again this weekend against Texas, the number one team in the country in Austin. We will get Barbara's thoughts coming up at 4 o'clock. But Turtle is back at the studio, and we're live in Gwinnett again. And, Mike, people are coming in to get their packets. It's really cool to see people come by and participate in this event.
Yeah, man, it's Paint Gwinnett Pink. We're over here at Gwinnett Medical Center Foundation Building. And, again, guys, you can swing by and see us if you're in this neck of the woods. And, again, I mean, there's no liquor. there's no thing, no food grilling. It's just us hanging out, saying hi to folks. Chris, you're not missing out. I mean, we're missing out on meeting some really great people. But Chris is back at the ranch. He's ready to go with Yeah Man, No Man. Just real quick for folks who want to say hi, 1755 North Brown Road in Lawrenceville. Paint Gwinnett Pink. The big 5K is Saturday at Coolray Field. You can go to my Twitter page, Carl. I got the link to Paint Gwinnett Pink if you want to sign up.
All right. I'll retweet that so you guys can also hit that up and make sure you have all the correct information. Turtle, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on today, my man?
Well, the longer these two baseball playoff series go, the more inevitable it looks like we're getting Yankees and Dodgers. But there is some good news for those of you who do not like the marquee franchises in the game. Both Aaron Judge the night before and last night, the two biggest stars in the game are starting to heat up.
Shohei 16 for his last 19 with runners in scoring position. That's where Smith is on second. The pitch is hit high in the air, right field, hooking toward the pole, and this ball is fair and gone. Shohei Ohtani unloads a three-run home run here in the top of the eighth inning. His second of the postseason makes it 7-0 L.A.
Whoa, hey. Unloads.
Well, yeah, man. No, man. Do
Pete Pukey Pukerson over here. Shelly.
Does a hot Ohtani and Judge make you any more interested in the series?
No, I got to be honest, man. I mean, once the Braves are out, I've never been less interested in a high-profile playoff, which a potential World Series than this one, Carl. Much like America, as the World Series TV numbers have gone down and the NBA Finals have actually eclipsed the World Series Finals, it's strange how I just, the sport I loved, and it's, you talked about this last year, how regional baseball has become.
Yeah, it is.
And when your team's out of it, Chris, I'm having a hard time even watching it.
Am I more interested or am I going to watch more? Both?
Are you more interested in the series if Judge and Ohtani, who were struggling at the beginning of the playoffs, are now catching fire?
I am. I mean, listen, I love watching greatness. And to say I witnessed something that may never happen again with Shohei Ohtani, yeah, it's definitely piqued my interest. But to Mike's point, you know, we don't know, at least I haven't looked yet, what the World Series schedule looks like and how does that coincide with my football schedule. And I'll give you an example. Saturday night, don't call, don't text, don't tweet, don't TikTok me because I'm watching Texas-Georgia. Nothing else would get in the way of that. And I think for dog fans, if you were to ask them, like, okay, if I got a World Series game that doesn't include our Braves, okay, which is not, and I have to pick and choose, well, guess where I'm probably going? So I do think, Chris, around the country and certainly around the world, because Shohei's international, it's going to help for the hardcore baseball fans. They're going to watch. Some fringe fans certainly going to jump on board. But I do think, yes, I would be more interested if both of those guys do heat up. Absolutely.
All right. One SEC star weighed in on Kirby and Shovegate. Former Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram. With some strong words, quote, the SEC lucky there wasn't a blank whooping. I know Kirby perfectly. He was my DC when I was at Bama, and he knows if he would have touched any one of us alphas like that, then he would have been squared up on. Yeah, man, no, man. You buying this from the former Heisman Trophy winner.
Well, also, Urban Meyer was on that same podcast, and Urban Meyer said that even if it was unintentional, there needs to be a stricter and stronger response.
Coming from Urban.
Yes, when I think of Urban Meyer, I think Law and Order. But anyway, getting back to Mark Ingram, though, what do you make of that?
Talk tough. I mean, listen, it's so easy, and he does. He's not lying about Kirby being there when he was there and he won the Heisman. I get all that. But that's a lot of talk tough, man. Tough talking, should I say. Mike, I don't believe that anybody – in that moment, all right, any alpha would have squared up with him. Any of those kids in pads, I just believe it was, again, one of those coincidental things that happened. Kirby's intent was not to hurt this young man. It was not to – I don't even believe he wanted to push him. But he says he didn't even realize who it was. He was just trying to get him out the way.
Well, he's wearing a different uniform, and he's standing between you and a guy wearing the colors of George. Look,
you think he did it intentionally?
I think he was just angry about the fact that his defense looks like crap, and he's shoving the quarterback who keeps making plays out of the way.
Maybe.
But, look, I'm not trying to make it into a federal case, but, I mean, I would say that outside of Georgia and SEC country, people are saying a lot of stuff about this, going, hey, that don't pass the eye test. He shoved the kid. But as we like to say, here's a guy, middle-aged guy in a visor, shoving a guy wearing a full football uniform, including the helmet and pads.
Yeah, he wasn't going to hurt the kid. I'm always about intent. And more importantly, I just think we make such a big deal these days out of some things that don't need to be made a big deal of. And, you know, if you heard Mark's comments and you didn't see the footage, you would think Kirby took this kid's helmet off and slapped him across the face. That's what you would believe. Because he did that one of these alphas. We would have been on. I mean, he bumped him on the side. On the kid. Mike, the kid. Yeah, I've seen sleds hit harder. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're underplaying it, Carl. There was a lot of violence in Kirby's forearm shiver.
Okay, so here you go. You're going to continue to perpetuate this thing.
No, I'm just saying.
And make it a bigger deal.
I mean, if you watch closely, watch Van Buren's head snap back and to the right. Back and to the right. Now, again, Chris, you know me.
That's where we're going to go.
Playing devil's advocate is a role I don't embrace, but I have fun with it occasionally. Just real quick, what if this had been Ryan Day, right? And all of a sudden, just throwing out there, Dylan.
Ryan Day? He should have been fired.
Dylan Gabriel is over there on the Ohio State sideline, and he goes, huh! And, I mean, it might be a little bit different.
If Ryan Day did this, he needs to be fired, not Kirby.
Shoving that quarterback during a heated exchange, it says on ESPN and Yahoo.
And by the way, Mark, come on, stop this. I love how you use the alpha. Get out of here.
Look at Van Buren's head snap back to the right. See that? There it is before. There it is after.
Mike, come on.
There's at least 10 G-forces right there.
I'm telling you, I've seen harder hits on sleds. It's ridiculous.
Kirby's lucky, according to Mark Ingram, that Van Buren's not an alpha.
They didn't actually show it, but during the commercial break, he actually went into the blue medical tent to get evaluated for a concussion. Luckily, he passed.
Yeah, he really came after him.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. You talk about an overreaction. See, this is what and you know why they didn't show it? Because he didn't have a concussion. That's why.
But Kirby's built Ford tough, Carl. He can come after you.
What doesn't challenge you doesn't change you, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
No, but I'm just saying, we are locked in our thoughts about Georgia collectively. I'm just saying, if you saw Ryan Day do that to Dylan Gabriel, or you saw that in another part of the country, you might go, wait a minute, that's not right. That doesn't pass the eye test.
I need to see how violent it is. And
incredibly violent.
I mean, you would have thought Kirby form tackled
could have
this
separated
guy, the water
could have
boy.
Separated the quarterback's shoulder.
It's ridiculous. You would have thought he was Bobby Boucher out there form tackling this kid. He didn't do all of that.
Right.
Oh.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Naked aggression of the quarterback. Back to you, Chris.
If Ryan Day did that to Sharon Moore, he probably would have started crying because that's my quarterback. Turtle hit Chris's music.
Yeah.
What if Deion does that?
Who?
Could you imagine the hue and cry if Deion shoves somebody from Kansas State?
Well, they're going to...
Oh, my God. The world would have spun off its axis.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.